nature, really. We are weak and prone to make mistakes. And sometimes we don't even tend to. We just do things or don't do things because we're not thinking or we're thinking the wrong thing. We're fallible. And so we're not altogether trustworthy. But there is one who we need to trust, absolutely. And that's God. We'll talk about that for a few moments today, talking about trusting God. I've been talking this past month about our motivations for serving God. I've talked about fearing God and about loving God. And this morning I'm going to talk about trusting God. And we'll use this passage in Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6, to begin to talk about trusting God, because we do need to trust God. We absolutely need to trust God, because in the end, there isn't anybody else that we can trust. Read this passage with me. Psalm 37, this is a psalm in which the psalmist is encouraging us to do exactly that. He says in verse 3 of Psalm 37, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday." We must trust the Lord. Trust involves inherently a degree of risk. You put your welfare in the hands of someone else, and there's a chance they'll let you down. But you do it. You do it usually because you have to. You need to. There's a story I heard about a woman who was in an apartment building up on the third floor, and one night the apartment building caught on fire and everyone evacuated, but she didn't get out. And she stuck up there on the third floor, and the flames are rising up, and the fire department has not yet arrived. And so her friends and her neighbors, the people she knows, they rush about, they find the big blanket, and they hold out a blanket, and they stretch it out, and they encourage her to jump. And she looks down and she sees all of the people that are holding the blanket. And she says, "I don't trust you. Put it on the ground." Well, it's a situation where she has no choice but to trust them. But in this case, not only do we have no choice but to trust the Lord, but we are in the hands of a God who is powerful and able and willing to save us, and He has promised that He will do so. We sang some songs along that line today, didn't we? Safe in the arms of Jesus. And we are safe. We'll talk about that for a few moments this morning. Let's look at this passage. Trust in the Lord. There is some inherent risk. There is something that you need to commit to the Lord. You have to do good and cultivate faithfulness. Now, people in the world who don't trust the Lord, they say, "Well, I don't understand why you need to do that. I don't understand why you follow all those rules, deny yourself some fun. You're just wasting your life. You're wasting opportunities to enjoy yourself, to go out there and do some of those things that people in the world like to do. Serve other people and do good things for them. What do you get out of it?" Well, there is a certain degree of trust, isn't there, when we do good for the Lord and cultivate faithfulness and live a life that is in keeping with His will, because we trust that He will reward that, that He will honor that. But it's a trust situation. you are taking a chance that he won't come through for you. But that's what you do if you are someone who trusts in the Lord. You do good. You cultivate faithfulness because you trust God. It's not because you necessarily think that there's anything going to come of it in this life. You know, it's not why you do good. Is that why you do good? You do good because, you know, scratch somebody's back, they'll scratch yours. Is that why you do good? I hope not, because that's probably not going to work out very well. People will let you down in this life. We do good because we trust in the Lord. We trust Him, His judgment. We cultivate faithfulness. We're here this morning cultivating faithfulness like the farmer cultivates the field because he believes something will come of it. That's why we cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. You see, it's not a begrudging kind of thing. It's not a kind of thing where we think, oh man, I just don't know. I don't know if God's going to reward me or not. No, we delight in it. This is a sure thing. This is the only sure thing in this life, is that we're going to fall into the hands of God. And we can trust Him if we will do good and cultivate faithfulness. And happy thing, we rejoice in that. Isn't that not anything else you really can count on, but you can count on Him and it makes you happy to do so. Commit your way to the Lord. That's the thing I'm talking about. You make a commitment. Because you trust Him. Commit your way to the Lord. What way? The way you live your life. You listen to God. You do what He says. And you commit the outcome to Him. It's not that all of the outcome depends upon my wisdom and my judgment and my skill and... No, I'm listening to God and I'm doing what He says because I don't know that I can figure things out. But He's got it all figured out. I commit my way to Him. Trust Him. Because He is the one who's going to make the outcome certain. He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light of day and your judgment as the noonday. It will work out. It will be okay. Not because I'm so smart or I'm so good, but because He can make it happen. You trust Him. And that's what you do if you're a child of God. You trust in the Lord. You seek His help. That's what we do. We seek His help because we think that He will help. We know that He will help. And we listen to Him. See, when you trust someone, you listen to them. You trust their judgment, you follow their judgment. You trust their opinion, you act accordingly. You listen to them if you trust them. If you don't trust them, you don't listen. There's a little pun. I'm going to share it with you. I think it's funny. Don't trust an atom. They make up everything. Well, there's a lot of people who make up things. But God doesn't make up anything. He made the world. He made you and me. And He holds us in His hands. And He is as sure and true and right as possible. Listen to Him. He says, because you trust Him. You trust Him. This is the best way to live my life. Other people will say, that's crazy. That's stupid. You shouldn't do that. But you don't listen to them. You listen to God. And you do what He tells you to do. And you commit your way to Him. That's what you do when you trust the Lord. And you know that He will deliver you. And you don't think, well, I hope He'll deliver me. I don't know. That's not trust. Trust is, He's going to do it. Like the light, like the noonday. It's getting about noon out there in a little bit, isn't it? It's light. And you go out there and you know it's going to be light. No question in your mind. God will do it. God will make the day. And we're not afraid, because that's what, you know, when you trust someone, you're not afraid. And you have those early memories of when you were afraid and you would run to your mom and dad because you trusted them. They weren't going to let you down. And if you were going to jump into someone's arms, you wanted your daddy's arms. Because those arms are strong and tender and loving. I hope you like that idea. And when you have someone like that, that you really trust, you feel safe and secure. You go on that long journey and go through strange parts of the world, and you come home to people that you know and you trust, and you sleep in peace in your own bed, safe in the arms of Jesus, and you're not afraid. That's what it means to trust in the Lord, to commit your life to Him, and whatever happens in this world, it doesn't matter. You're not afraid. It doesn't matter how hard things get, because you're safe, not afraid. Let's look at a few psalms and passages that talk about this. Psalm 4 and verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Why do we offer sacrifices? Why do we offer a life of sacrifices, a life of righteousness? Because we trust in the Lord. It matters that we come here and offer our praise and offer our prayers and our acknowledgments to God, because we trust Him. It's an act of trust. Psalm 62 and verse 8, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge. You know, when you get into trouble, there are people that you call on. There are people that you call and you say, I need help. Please come help me. And there are other people that you wouldn't, they'd be the last person you would call. They would just make your problems worse to call on those people. Who's the first person you would call? Who would you call? If you were in jail or you were in trouble, who would you call? Well, in all of our troubles, in all of our difficulties, call on the Lord. Psalm 52 and verse 8, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. The psalmist is saying, you know, when I think about my life and all of the difficulties and all the things that I face, and I know it's challenging, but when I come into the house of God, I'm like a green olive tree. And that means one that's lush and full of life, and healthy and whole. And that's how I feel in the house of God, because I know He'll be there for me. I know that His love is steadfast. No question about that love. You know, there are people who love you and their love waxes and wanes. And sometimes you can count on it, and sometimes you can't count on it. And sometimes they love you more, and sometimes love you less, and sometimes it seems like they don't love you at all. But the love of God is steadfast. It will always be there, and consequently you're like a green olive tree. You know, that's the whole book of Psalms starts out with that statement, the tree planted by the rivers of water. It's a sure source of sustenance. It'll never let you down when you trust in the Lord. Isaiah 12 and verse 2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. It's a tremendous thing to be able to say. You know, we have an impression, an idea that God is there, and that He cares about all of us, and that maybe He will send messengers, or maybe He will send aid in some form, fashion, or the other. But the psalmist says, the Lord Himself will help me. I trust Him. I trust Him because He Himself is my defense and my strength. And consequently, I'm not afraid. Oh, Christian, do not live a life of fear. For a life of fear implies that you don't trust God. Live a life that is secure, full of hope, that is full of confidence. Now that may sound like I'm contradicting my first sermon in this series where I said, fear God. But as I've explained, and I hope well enough for you to understand, when you begin with an understanding of who God is and what He can do, there is a period of fear, of concern, and that's good. But it leads you to love Him and to trust Him. And perfect love casts out fear, and perfect trust as well. You trust Him, there's nothing to be afraid of, including God Himself. Trust Him. Trusting in the Lord means we don't trust in the world. And this is part of the trust thing a lot of people don't get. They are like gamblers who put their chips on all of the all of the different places, you know, where the wheel is going to I don't know what you call them, all the numbers, red and black and all of the numbers. I don't have that much experience in gambling. I hope you understand that. But some people say they trust the Lord, but they don't. And the reason they don't is because there's other things that they actually trust more, or instead of the Lord. There's a lot of passages that talk about this. But we need to know that these other things are unreliable. We can't count on them. We don't even trust ourselves. And that's the message the world sends to us all. You trust in yourself. Well, yeah, you trust in yourself in that you have to make decisions, and you have to support and stand behind those decisions, and you cannot be constantly and always in a quandary and always questioning and always doubting. You have to trust in the decision that you make. I understand the concept, but in the end, the reality for the Christian is we don't even trust in ourselves. We trust in God, commit ourselves to Him. Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. The idea is that if there is an enemy and you are attacked, then you need to defend yourself. And to defend yourself, you need support. You need something, a weapon. You need chariots and horses. And this will win the day. But we know that that is not the case. We know that there is nowhere in this world that we are safe. Nowhere. There is no country that can defend you. There is no army that can defend you in the end from what it is that we face. We face death and damnation. That is what we face. There's no weapon in this world that can defend you against that. Psalm 146, 3 through 5, put not your trust in princes and a son of man in whom there is no salvation. Blessed, he says, verse 5, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, I'm as interested in politics as anybody, but I got to tell you something. Whether you be a Republican or a Democrat or some other crazy party, those guys are not going to save you. They can't even save themselves. There's no politician. There's no program. There's no law. There isn't anything that's going to save you. There may be policies that are more helpful than others, some that are downright unhelpful. But that's not what we put our trust in. That's not where our confidence lays. It's not in the Constitution of the United States. Certainly not in our elected leaders. Our confidence is in God. He's the only one who's not going to let us down in the end. Micah 7, verses 5 through 7. It gets a little more pointed here. The context of this is a time of judgment, a time of retribution. And in that time of judgment and retribution, there's nobody that's going to be able to save you. No matter how close you are to them. And Micah puts it this way, Micah 7, 5 through 7. Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend. Even with the woman who lies in your embrace, guard the words of your lips. But as for me, he goes on to say, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, my God will hear me. Now, that's not to say that we don't trust our wives and our spouses, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. It's not saying don't ever trust them. We trust them in lots of ways that are meaningful because of the relationships that we have with them. And what Micah is saying is when it comes to what's really facing us, God's judgment, you can't count on those people to save you. Only God can save you. And he's the one that you need to count on and trust more than anybody else. And it comes to a decision between whether you trust your wife or you trust God. You've got to trust God. Or if it comes to, do I listen to my friend or do I listen to God? You've got to listen to God. You have to. And so very often, even we as Christians, we don't listen to God. We listen to all these people in our life. These people who quite frankly don't know what they're talking about. Why? Why would you trust someone who's just as ignorant and fallible as you are instead of the Almighty God who made you and made this universe and has handed you his inspired will to direct your thoughts and to save you? Why wouldn't you listen to him? Why would you listen to somebody else? It doesn't matter how much you like them or love them or are close to them. In the end, you can't count on them when it comes to matters of your soul's salvation. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And this is the thing that people don't get. You know, they think, well, you know, I got to follow my own opinion. No, you don't. Maybe your opinion is wrong. It often is. So is mine. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't do that. God says this is the way to live your life. This is what you need to do. Do that. You don't have to agree with it. One would hope that eventually you would see the wisdom in it, mature enough to understand why God has you to do and be the things that he says. But in the meantime, just trust him because he's God and you're not. Don't lean on your own understanding. Or as it says here in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, Paul says, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now think about that. Think about that. You're on your way to execution, and you turn to another fellow who's on his way to execution, and you say, save me. He can't. Or you say to yourself, well, I guess it's down to me. No, it's not. You can't. You are under the sentence of death. We can't trust ourselves because we can't save. But there's somebody who can. God who raises the dead. Now, I want to end this sermon by talking about the fact that God deserves our trust because he's earned it. And there are many, many ways that we could talk about how God has earned your trust. I want to talk about one particular way that he has earned your trust, and that he has shown us the way of trusting God. Look at this passage that's also in the Psalm 20, verse 8. This psalm David wrote. I think he wrote it pretty much about himself. And he says that in the midst of his trials and tribulations, He said he was mocked and made people. And they said to him, "He trusts in the Lord," they say. "Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." So they're mocking him and they're making fun of him and saying, "Oh, David, you trust so much in God. Why don't you let God deliver you?" And that was hurtful and that was hard for David to take. But you know, as a prophet and inspired by the Spirit of God, David, when he wrote those words, also wrote them about somebody else. Because about 1,000 years later, some equally vile men said the same things to the Son of God on the cross. Matthew 27:43. "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And so by way of prophecy, David writes about the Messiah, about Jesus, about the Son of God. And they did mock Jesus, and they did say those terrible words. And they said, "Oh, he should trust in God." And you know what? That's exactly what he did. He hung there on that cross, and he suffered, and he died trusting in his Father. He did that. And here's another psalm, Psalm 31, where the psalmist talks about how much he trusts in God. He says, "For you are my rock," Psalm 31:3. "You are my rock and my fortress for your name's sake. You will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord God of truth." And those words were spoken by Jesus on the cross too. "Into your hand I commit my spirit." When Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. You see, trusting in God is something that you should be willing to do because he showed you how to do it. And he died for you. He trusted in the Father for you and suffered and hung there in agony. And he breathed his last, trusting in God. That's how I know I can trust him. And that's how you should know that you can trust him too. So, follow him. Trust God when it's not. Follow God when it's not what you want. It's you'd rather not. Trust him anyway. Trust him when it scares you. Trust him when it makes you different from other people. And that's an uncomfortable place to be different from other people. But trust God. Don't trust them. Don't trust their opinion. Trust God. Trust him even when it costs you something, because trust inherently involves risk. And trust him especially, and especially today, if you need his forgiveness, because there is nowhere else that it can be had. The man who died on the cross, committing himself into the hands of his Father, entrusted himself to his Father, and then was raised from the dead, because God can do that. And he's sitting at the right hand of God right now. And he will plead on your behalf this morning if you will trust him. If you will commit your way to him. If you will declare your faith in him. And ask for forgiveness. By obeying the gospel, he will grant you forgiveness. And he will bring you into light, as into the noonday sun. Trust him. You want to trust him in obeying the gospel? Be baptized in the name of Jesus this morning. Come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.
Thou art needing, soul a Savior waits for thee. Hear his words of tender pleading. Hear his gracious come to me. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest. has died for thy transgression. If thou wilt, thou canst be free. So he waits for thy confession. Savior, I will go to thee. He is called.